good evening, afternoon, or morning to whoever's listening to our lovely podcast today. I'm Jillie Hendricks. You're listening to Lady Lovin'. Thanks so much for listening. I'm here, as always, with Greta Teitelman and Hi. Lauren Bosworth.
Hi.
And hi, Lo.
Hi, guys. So today we have Joel Kim Booster joining us.
It's super
like
weird.
The shot.
Yeah, okay. Like the seat.
Joel like Kim seat. Booster.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, like a booster. Oh, yeah. Get it? Got mm-hmm. it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm very excited about it because he's a hilarious New York comedian. And you can see him on, you've seen him on MTV and Logo and in your dreams.
Yes.
And you can also see him currently in all those places too.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure. You did it.
It's past and present.
There was a lot of pressure riding on Jillie to do that. But
and I already messed up. You want to know what? I realize I kind of speak like Yoda. My whole family sat me down the other day and they're like, you say the last part of the sentence first. And I'm like, it's like a form of dyslexia.
That's funny. You guys.
Yoda intervention.
Yeah, I did. I had a Yoda intervention.
That's true. Joel is a comedian that I have like adored from afar for forever. I always have comics. I feel lucky that I get to use this podcast as a way to like ploy comics into becoming my friends.
It's a trap.
It is.
And I fell for it.
It's all a trap.
Well, Greta's a trap queen.
So. Yeah, there you go. But
that's true.
That I am a trap queen, though.
No, that you have made, you've like your group of comic friends has widened so much.
I know.
Because you have so many on the podcast and now you're like the queen of the comics.
Oh, yes. I would like to think so.
Add that to your Twitter bio.
I know, seriously.
People would love it.
Yeah, people would really love that. But you talk so much about your family in a lot of your comedy. And it's a perfect thing that we have him on today because, Jillie, what are we talking about?
Family and relationships with your parents and your siblings and your pets and whoever you call your family.
I love it.
Yeah.
And your dirty Uncle Mike.
Yeah. Everyone has
one. We all got it.
We all have Uncle Mike.
Why is it that everyone has a creepy uncle? And like, what if you're someone's creepy uncle or aunt and you don't even know it? Like, do you know if you're the creepy uncle?
Like, if you are the creepy uncle?
Yeah. Like, do you know? Or if you're, like, the weird uncle, like, would you know that? Or would you think that you wouldn't know? Because every family has one.
I feel that, like, that level of self-awareness, the people who have that level of self-awareness aren't weird, you know? If you know that you're the weird uncle, it's like, you're probably not that weird then. Like,
it's
you're too
true.
Self-aware to
it's
be that weird.
True. But, like, we could, one of us could be a creepy aunt or uncle.
It's true. That's scary or cousin. To think about.
It's going to be me.
No, Lo. I think that you're the last one that it's going to be. I have a fear that, like, I'm going to dip into the Samantha Jones voice as an adult woman, and, like, my son's friends are not going to have any reason why I'm turning everything into a sexual innuendo.
I mean, I could see you. You could be, like, Stifler's mom.
Exactly. I would love that.
You're a Jennifer Coolidge in the making.
I slowly, one Botox shot at a time, I tell
just
you.
Just a little filler, right. Just a little filler here, just a little filler there.
But
those lips are like epic.
I know, I love them. They're lip-worthy lips. But can you give us some background on where you came from, what your family background is like, what's going on with you? Because I just love talking about this.
Yeah, no. And so the reason you struggled with my name is because it is very strange. I don't look like a booster, but I am adopted. I was adopted from Korea when I was a babe, 3 months old. And I grew up right outside of Chicago with just the whitest family imaginable in the whitest town. Plainfield, Illinois is where I grew up. It sounds exactly what it like. It is exactly what it sounds. Yeah, it's pretty small. Went to it's growing now. We have like 4 high schools now. We only had like one when I was there.
That's not that small.
Now it's
4 high schools is big.
Yeah, it's gotten way bigger.
Yeah, it is pretty big. But were you the only Asian in your high school?
Not in my high school. Well, the thing is my parents, they also homeschooled me until I was a junior in high school.
Oh,
so.
My God. I love that.
That's one of my favorite jokes that I saw you say.
Can you tell me about that? Did you like being homeschooled?
No, God, I hated it. So it was, this is the thing, and it's ironic that it turned out this way because they did adopt me, but like, I'm so completely opposite from my family. Like my parents are, and my whole family are just so religious and like introverted. And they like we never had parties growing up. We never had people over. Like my parents don't have adult friends really. Like they have people they go to church with and that's pretty much it. And then like, So they homeschooled me, and I just hated it every step of the way. I can remember just always asking to go to school, and they never wanted to send me.
So you were homeschooled literally from like kindergarten till 11th grade.
Do you have siblings?
Yep, I have an older brother and older sister who are both biological.
Okay. Were they homeschooled as well?
My brother was. My sister is a little bit older than us, and she was homeschooled for a while, but then my mom had to go back to work right before she had my brother, I think. So they ended up sending her to school, and they never took her out. So.
Did your mom teach you guys, or did you have a tutor that came in?
No one did, really. That's the crazy thing.
So how are you alive?
I don't know. Like, we had
you like a self-taught algebra? Like,
basically.
How does this work?
No, I mean, we got like the textbooks and stuff like that, but here's the thing. Like, I love to learn. I'm such a nerd. So like, I would sit at home and I would like read all day and then just like do the math homework, but just get all the answers from the back.
Yeah.
And like, my brother, on the other hand, did not love to learn and would just play video games all day. And there was no one there really to police that. So like, by the time I did go to public school, I was like reading and writing at a much higher level than everyone else. But I was like, I don't know states.
Well, there's a song for that.
Yeah.
So that's great.
It is so dumb, though, to like, there are just weird, like, I consider myself a fairly intelligent person. Like, I have a college degree, but there are just so many gaps that come up that are, they're like, wait, why don't you know this really simple thing?
Like what? Give me an example.
Like, I don't know states. Like, I seriously do not know. States very much at all.
Well, I developed a weird OCD in high school where I used to, in every single class, I would alphabetically write out the state and its capital. That's so weird, I know. But if you look at my old notebooks, it's all just listed like that.
Yeah, I mean, it comes up less now, but like, there was a lot of gaps in like my early American history. No idea.
Who needs it, honestly?
That's how I feel. I mean, like, obviously school is so important, but I think it's important for like the social skills and for like discipline,
for sure,
and that sort of thing, as well as education.
And just learning how to work. You know, well, yeah. I mean, the history stuff, I was like, oh, I saw Hamilton and now I feel like I get it. You know, like,
Here's a pop quiz question for everyone. Oh, who won the Civil War?
Oh, my God. It was the North.
Yeah.
Yes, correct answer.
Totally.
You saw that same viral video. None of those people knew.
Wait, these people didn't even know, like, who was fighting.
Yeah, they were like, one girl was like, oh, you mean the Civil War from 1965? And it's like,
no, people also thought that the United States became a country in 1976, which I guess only one digit is off there. At least
200 years.
We were talking about this the other day.
We were.
It's insane.
None of them knew who Joe Biden was either. Like, they could not name the vice president.
Who's our vice president?
Isn't it? Those are like all the Jimmy Kimmel videos that he does.
Yeah, this wasn't Jimmy Kimmel. This is like something like more independent, but it was still so sad. Like, and these were people.
Like,
these were people
University
on a on a college campus. None of these people knew
that one.
Yeah,
yeah.
Julie's like, oh yeah, another group of idiots that we just had.
I don't like feel super bad, but
I was gonna say, this is not a great story, but I'm gonna tell it about myself. When I was in kindergarten, my good friend Amelia was adopted, and she brought in her adoption video. And then the teacher at the end of class said, is anyone else adopted? And I raised my hand. And then after school, the teacher was like, oh, we didn't know that Jillian's adopted. My parents were like, she's not. Like, how much of an asshole am I that I just like needed to feel special too? Like,
oh,
what
God.
The fuck?
You just didn't want Amelia.
Is that why you raised your hand, Jill?
Probably.
You,
I mean, why else would I raise my hand? Because I was definitely not adopted. I was just like, yeah, I came from China too.
That's really fucking
like, how
funny.
How fucked up is that?
That is really funny.
I know.
Funny.
My parents were like, shit.
I mean, I get that though. I would do things like, I would lie at the eye doctor because I wanted glasses. Because there's that age where it was like, every kid wanted glasses
for
and
sure.
braces.
And retainers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I used to like jam like gum in the roof of my mouth and like talk with it in. Like, I had a retainer. I wanted one so bad.
It's so weird. It's so braces really bad and I never got them.
Yeah.
And now I'm terrified that I'm going to have them as an adult.
Did you know that I think braces are a scam? Because let me tell you about it.
Jillian, that's fully insane.
It's not. I think that
you think braces are a scam.
Oh my God. I
think
that you guys, you heard it here first on Lady Lady. Braces are a scam.
You want to know why? Some people need them, but like I feel like they're just fucking throwing braces on every kid that comes out of the womb. Like everyone doesn't need braces. Like maybe like 8 out of 10, but like the other 2 don't.
Jillian,
and like braces stain your teeth. And they make them yellow. So let me tell you, I would rather have a little bit of crooked teeth than like yellow teeth that I have today. Right,
look at my bottom teeth. They're fucked
yeah,
up.
Yeah, look at mine yeah, too. Like, and I had braces.
Hold on.
I had braces and my teeth are perfect.
Thank you. I had braces too and my teeth are also perfect.
Well, yeah. I can't believe I'm saying
you
this,
also
but
can't
let me.
Be perfect.
Let me defend Jilly here.
Thank you,
really
Joel.
Quickly.
I knew we had a connection.
I know. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm about to say like jet fuel can't melt steel beams or something like that, but I think like maybe you have a point that like maybe not everyone's teeth needs to look perfect.
Here's
like,
my
if
thing.
You have a real like issue yes, then yes
definitely get
but
braces
maybe...
but like I feel like they're just like it's like the flu shot, like everyone does not need to
hold
get the
on,
flu
hold
shot.
On hold on hold on
well,
you guys
now I,
actually
I'm off again
should get the flu shot.
I'm off the boat
hold
I can't.
On
Jillian, you're on your own again.
Here is what yeah. it is. I had braces and I look better. Does every kid need Adderall? No. Do I like how I feel on a little bit of Adderall? Yes. Okay. I mean, so let's just, maybe it's like the good old Adderall trick. Are too many kids getting braces? Probably.
Exactly.
Do they like how they look
are
afterwards?
Too many kids
sure.
doing Adderall? Yes. And some people don't like Adderall, Greta.
Just like some people yeah. don't like Adderall. Some people really just want to be on Xanax and that's it, okay?
Yeah, some people just need like Valium.
Some people need downers, like, Greta.
Yeah, come on, girl. Some people want to cry themselves to sleep and stay out all night.
Oh my goodness. So wait, so let's get back to being homeschooled and then going to, what was your first day in high school? Like, as how old are you, 16?
7. Yeah, 16.
Yeah, that
16.
Must have been crazy.
I mean, it was, but like I was always like a super social person. I had jobs and shit like that before I went to school.
Oh,
and like
good.
So I mean it was like a little overwhelming. And it's funny because like initially it really came up, like I started to notice actually into college. I was like, oh, this is a social skill that I actually did miss. Like, because I don't think it affected, I was never like, you know, crazy, like weird, but
right.
there were moments where I would like cross lines or like not understand how to interact socially, probably because I just wasn't used to it, you know,
right.
being around yeah. a lot of people.
But I also feel like, couldn't that give you just like an air of like vulnerability that a lot of kids didn't have because they were so concerned about how they acted?
Yeah, I mean, it totally did, but that's also something that like people exploit about you all the time. And like, you know, it's not cool to
yeah.
be vulnerable in high school,
right.
you know?
But yeah, especially at like 17.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I ever wanted to be.
Yeah.
It was like a vulnerable teenager.
Oh, God.
The bleeding heart of Jilly yeah. Hendrix. The tiny violin still plays.
I think like because I was also closeted when I first went to school too, like not for very long, mind you.
Yeah, when did you come out?
Like literally a month into being at public school.
Like, so you like your parents like set you free
yeah,
to go to public school and you immediately came out of the closet.
You know, maybe if they would have set me free a little bit sooner, I wouldn't have been so wound up. But literally, I mean, all their greatest fears in the month that I was in public school came true. I drank, I smoked weed for the first time. I, you know, like lost my boy virginity, came out of the closet, like all of it.
More wait, power to you. Did you lose your girl virginity?
No, I mean, I've like fingered girls before, but like nothing.
Yeah, you, I you love know. That that's like I'm with like, so many of my gay boyfriends. And yeah, like, have you ever had sex with a girl? They're like, I mean, I fingered girls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Actually, I've done that like... I did. That was like my move in college. I just wasted and like half hook up with girlfriends in college. And it's like, what are we doing? You know, like I'm 21 years old. We are all
like, I mean,
like,
it happens to the best.
You firmly ensconced in the gay community right now.
Yeah. Like you're out of the closet and you're still hooking up with
yeah,
chicks.
Yeah. It's just like a drunk, like, why not?
You know, it happens. It
yeah,
does happen.
It does happen. We talked about
we
this
talked
at
about
Malibu
this the
too.
Other day yeah. too. Oh, wow. What a California sentence. We talked about this in
Malibu the other day.
I
yeah.
loved
oh,
it.
Brother,
God.
Kill us.
My
kill
eyes
us.
Have just rolled in the back of my head.
Burn this building to the ground.
So what did your parents, so then how did they react to you? Did you tell them? Like,
no.
Did you sit them down and were you like, I'm gay?
So literally coming off a shift at Quiznos, still
holy
smelling
shit,
like
I
roast
fucking
beef.
Love Quiznos.
Quiznos was the best. I came home, they were sitting on the couch and they had my journal
no.
In their hands. And that's... just like, I still remember it. And like, it was just like, we read everything. And I'm like, oh no. And so, and
that
like,
is such an invasion.
Wait, how old were you?
It's insane.
Violation.
At this point, I was a senior. So I had been gay and out. And like, I've been like running through boyfriends for like almost a year at this point. And they read that. And it was just like, it was truly like, I have a joke about it. It was just like a BuzzFeed list of dicks I'd sucked. You know, like, it wasn't even like a real journal. It was
it's like your conquest.
Yeah, it was. It was just like, this is what I did this week.
It was like Jeremy, 20, worked at Radio Shack.
MySpace.
It was like James Franco's next movie.
Exactly. And so it was just like, yeah. So it was, I'm sure it was like very jarring for them to read that, but also like, you know, I was being safe. I wasn't, this is the other thing. This is the frustrating thing. It's like, yes, I was partying, but I was also like getting straight A's, some B's, you know, like I was highly involved. I wasn't going crazy. I wasn't like recklessly out of control. I wasn't drinking or driving or anything like that.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was like, you know, calm down. But also for them, it was the nuclear option. And so we had the biggest like drop down, like huge fight to the point where like it got physical, I think, on both sides for me and my dad. And they ended up calling the cops and sending me to an inpatient mental hospital for teens in our town for a week.
What?
Yeah. Because they assumed, because I had talked a lot about smoking weed in my journal and the sex stuff, that they were just like, he's out of control. He needs to be institutionalized. Which by when I got there, it was like so clear to everyone, like all the counselors and stuff like that. They're like, oh, like you do not belong here. Like there is a girl who like tried to kill her parents and like 13-year-olds addicted to heroin in this wing. Like, it's just like, this isn't for you. You know?
So I
owned that place for the full week. Like,
you were the favorite
there,
patient.
I fucked 10 other dudes. No,
I wish. That was like a dream. When I was first coming in, I remember being like, oh, well, maybe this is where it'll happen. Maybe this is where I'll meet my boyfriend.
You'll get like a hot male nurse or something.
I'd read enough YA fiction that I was like, that could happen. But no. So then like finally after a week, they're like, you got to take him. He's got to get out of here. This isn't kosher.
And then, he's totally normal.
He's a regular teenager who's just doing regular teenage things. And so like I went home with them. I stayed probably for like 2 weeks or so, and it was just bad. It was just like an awful time in my like youth. And then we were just fighting constantly. My mom at one point, I remember like either the night before or the early morning while I was getting ready to go to school, was like, if you either got to live here and like do things our way or go. And I was like, all right, bye. And
so where
were they
go?
Pissed about the like drinking and drugs, or that they found out that you were gay?
All of it. Like, there's so much to like, all of it just combined. There's no way to separate any of that.
Got it.
Like they're super religious people, just like super evangelical, like conservative people, like grew up, you know, with Ronald Reagan posted everywhere all over our house. Like,
who are they voting for president in this election?
I believe Trump. At least I know my older brother is voting for Trump.
That's interesting.
Big Palin supporters too. Big on the Palin train. Listening, love Rush Limbaugh, Fox News,
the whole
kit and caboodle.
All right, so you move out, and then where do you go?
My car, and then like some like friend's house. I remember I was actually just talking to my friend Ricky from high school about this via Facebook. God bless Facebook. But he was like this random like straight dude friend that I had, and I went and stayed at his house for one night, and I could only stay for one night because his dad is a weed dealer, and would just like come home and smoke us out. And to this day I've never been as stoned as I was that night at Ricky's house. And the next morning I was
like, I can't live here.
I was like, yeah, Ricky. I was like, I won't graduate if I stay here.
Like, you're like, Ricky, your dad's weed is really nice and whatever, but I have a future. So then you just lived out of your car?
I don't need to make this, I don't want to make this sound any more dire than it actually was. I did for like a couple of nights, but like it spread out, not consecutively either. But
needing to sleep in your car because that's actually where you need to sleep is fucking dire in my eyes, okay? Like, not sleeping in your car because like, my boyfriend, who I shouldn't see, we're gonna have sex now.
Right. Yeah, or like at a music festival.
Yeah, or something that like seems fun.
Right.
Like, that's scary.
Yeah, it was, but it was also like, it's not as dire as like, I know a lot of people's stories where they are like truly kicked out of their house because of their homosexuality. And like, if I could have gone back, probably it would have been, I mean, it was toxic and it was torture. And they had me seeing like Christian therapy therapists that were
to,
not
turn you
helpful
straight.
At all. Yeah. I mean, maybe not even so much that. We talked about that a lot, like conversion therapy bullshit. But like, it never got to that point. And I think I was just afraid that it would get to that point. And so I was like, I just can't be here.
Yeah.
And so I even bought that car in preparation to leave.
That's amazing.
I spent $500 on a 1988 Honda Accord
That's
stick shift
amazing.
That I did not know how to drive.
You had your
black.
Shit together for that homeschool paid off.
Truly. Very independent.
Yeah.
And then, so the week I was gone in the, obviously everyone in my school was talking about it because yes, I was the voice of the announcements. So when I disappeared,
you didn't go to school either during that week.
No. Yeah.
Oh wow.
I was inpatient, like stuck.
Oh yeah, we were gone. Sorry. I thought you meant after
out. No. So like, I got back to school and everyone was sort of like, "Where did you go?" Because people would call my house. And my dad would be like, "We don't know when he's coming back." And it's like, why would you feed a teenager line? Because of course, like, they're just going to take that and
You're
run with it.
You're just going to be on like everybody's like Tumblr page.
You can't tell like, a 16-year-old that. Like, what are they going to think? So, yeah. So that was like bad. And I remember I was sitting in choir and this girl that we were not friends at. We had this one class together. Choir and she was like very popular and a jock and you know all these other things and like she was nice but like not friends and she was like, "Hey, if you ever need a place to stay you can stay with me," and it's like, okay, like great, yes, I'm sure that's true, but I was never planning on doing that. And then I did, it was getting colder, so I like went to her house one day and I was like, "Hey, remember when you said that thing?" And she was like, and this is exactly what I mean about like not really knowing boundaries. Like, just like,
you just like rolled up to her
house. Like, I know you were saying this because this is a thing that people say to be nice, but I'm just going to call you on this.
So
I showed up to her house and her parents were like, "This isn't like cool. You can't just invite strangers to come and stay at our house." Like, her dad's a paraplegic. You know, she has two little brothers. It was like a very difficult situation, but they're like, "He can stay for a night." And so I stayed that night, stayed up most of the night talking to our mom. Then like the next morning before we went to school, she was like, "Come back for dinner and before you go." And then I ended up staying there for the rest of the year.
Wow.
They co-signed on my first student loan. They bought me a car for graduation. Like, to this day, you know, I was her best man in her wedding. She's like, it was
I
her
just
birthday
got the
yesterday.
Chills. That's like such a lovely story.
Yeah, she is the best person, and her family are like the best humans I know. And it's ironic too because her dad was the Methodist pastor in our town.
Oh, weird.
And now she's a pastor as well.
But, oh my god, this is who you're talking about.
And both of them are just so progressive about and it was like really what I needed, because I was like full on Jesus freak for a while too, and even when I came out I sort of resigned myself to being like, well, I'm going to hell and this is just how it's going to be and I'm gonna have a good life and then go to hell, and like was deeply depressed, like you know, like very feeling great because I was finally free and like living my life the way I wanted,
but also much guilt.
So much guilt internalized and feeling like I was going to go to hell. And living with them for that year was like truly the best thing for me, because her dad was like, "Well, no, you're not going to hell. Like, this is not like what God is about. And like, let's deal with this." And they were never like very pushy about religion. Like, I went to church with them sometimes, but not every week. And they were very like respected my boundaries there. But it was just such a healing like year for me to live with these people who were like, "Jesus is about this, not what you grew up believing. And there is no hell." And like, blah, blah, blah. And like,
that's amazing.
And being able to come home and like, talk about boyfriends that I had and like talk with her mom about like, "Oh, like, you know, this guy I'm dating," or whatever, like homecoming drama, and just be like a normal teenager for 1 year was like, you know, everything.
Did you run into your parents at all, like on the street or like at a restaurant or at church or anything?
No, I didn't see them. I remember one time I got really, really sick. And like, weirdly, I had the best guidance counselor at school too, which is amazing. Like,
that,
you don't,
like, you never hear these things happening. Yeah.
But she was like so involved and she was like very cool about like being like, "No, the Caseys can call him in sick. The Caseys can like, art can be the point of contact," even though like, I'm sure that wasn't legal.
I mean, definitely no.
Yeah, definitely not. But she was cool. But there was one instance where I got really, really, really sick and I had to go to the doctor and like, you know, so I had to like meet my mom there and it was awful. We didn't like say a word to each other the whole time. She just basically signed me in and like went and saw the doctor and then we didn't say anything. So we didn't talk almost until we didn't talk until like high school graduation, almost into college.
again. That's crazy.
Do you speak now?
Did they come to your high school graduation?
Yes, they did. Because I was giving the speech. So
were you valedictorian?
No, we didn't do that in my school.
But you were elected.
It was elected.
So everyone loved you.
Chosen. Yeah. It was a very, I was like relatively popular.
Like
for
on
being,
a scale
like,
of 1 to 10.
I mean, if you're giving the speech, that's like some real shit.
I love how Joel casually was like, yeah, but then I gave the speech because I was the king of the school.
Yeah, Lo, I actually talked about Laguna Beach in my graduation speech too.
Really?
Drop that show. Yes, so it was. Funny. Well, yeah, it was the show of the era. So.
What did you say about it?
I can't even remember. I was like talking about like things. I was just like doing like a list of like trends and things that are like important to us now and the things that would be important to us later. It was like so weird. It was bad.
Amazing.
It was really, really bad.
Is it on
bad.
YouTube?
Laguna Beach will definitely be important to me
exactly.
in year 2020.
No, and thankfully, this is all pre-YouTube.
Damn, I was going to have to Google that shit.
No. There is one like newspaper clipping where it's like, Joel Kim Booster says, we are the future. And I was like, oh, this is before I realized we were all pieces of shit.
Before you realize the future is just
none of these assholes I graduated with.
Not to be a jerk, but your parents must have felt like shit when you were like giving this speech and like doing all this amazing stuff.
That's the thing. Like my parents know I'm like supremely talented. I think it's just like they just, you know, they wish that I cared more about my spiritual health than, you know, being talented and being successful at these other things that I'm doing, you know?
Yeah.
Would they be open to you like fostering your spiritual health like in a different way, like a different religion? Yeah. Or is it
just about being
an evangelical Christian?
I mean, my mom to this day is in such a deep state of denial about like where I am.
Still.
Like, she will call me and be like, when we talk on the phone, she'll be like, well, have you found a good church in New York yet, Joel? And I'm like, Mom. No, I haven't. It's been 2.5 years and you keep asking and I still have not. And I think you should know that I'm just not going to. Because this is the thing. I mean, I remember the first time Sarah's parents and my parents ever met was at my college graduation. And it was
Sarah's parents. Mm-mm.
And it was one of the most like, oh my God, pins and needles moments for me. Cause it was just like so weird of like, you know, and like I didn't even go home for holidays over Christmas ever. I went to Sarah's house.
Right.
And so it was just like, this is the family that like took our son.
Must be like so weird of that feeling of like you're going home in the same town in the same area, but it's like not necessarily like you're.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Very strange.
I am the first to say that I am not a web designer. I have no idea how to build a website. I can hardly use Facebook. I am just not good at it at all, which is why I was so happy when I was introduced to Weebly. Weebly was created for people with the courage to start their own business and the dream to be their own boss. Again, you don't need to be a web designer or even know how to code or anything like that to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store. We were all very impressed with the wide variety of professionally designed mobile-friendly themes to choose from. And then once you choose whichever one you want that fits your business or your personality, you simply drag and drop and quickly build and publish your site. You can truly customize it, update it, and change your site anytime you want on any device, on your phone, on your computer, on an iPad, whatever. So if you want to join the over 30 million people who are already dreaming big with Weebly, then you can get started today for free at Weebly.com/lady. Weebly.com/lady, where you can make the website of your dreams the easiest thing ever. If I can do it, you can do it. So go to Weebly.com/lady and put yourself out there.
Can I ask what your relationship was like with your siblings during this period? Because did they still live at home with your family?
Yes. Actually, both my older brother and my older sister both lived at home until they were almost 30. My sister was 32 when she moved out. My brother was 27 or 28, I think, when he moved out.
That's a long time to live with your parents.
Yeah, I mean, but that's just like the culture of my family of like until you get married,
you don't move out.
Like that's just like a pretty traditional like
right.
I kind of wish I would have stayed at home longer.
No, Jilly.
But my brother and I mean, we had a pretty fractured relationship from like adolescence on. We just like did not get along because we're very different people. My sister, I have always been super close to my sister growing up. Like she was like my best friend, even though she was 8 years older than me. And like, but she was great. And I think she was really hurt by it more so. I think she sees it as my decision to leave was like me shunning the family and not
right,
like
rather than
me being able to protect my own emotional like well-being.
Yeah.
But we're close now. She has a baby with her great husband, and I, you know,
where do they live?
They live like a mile away from my house.
So everyone still kind of lives there. And what does she do?
She is a stay-at-home mom, which is crazy. My sister got a full ride scholarship to go to North Central College in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And she was going to be an aeronautical engineer, and she dropped out after like halfway through her second semester, because she was just like, nah, not into it. Like, and just wanted to be a mom.
Yeah.
And from then on, like, you know, that's what she was like, pretty sure. And like, the thing is my sister's brilliant and amazing and beautiful. And it's like, you can do whatever the fuck you want. And And like, seeing her now with my nephew, it's like, you're an amazing mom.
Well, some people want that.
Yeah. And it's great. Yeah. And it's great that, you know, we all have those options.
Right. Sure. Well, that's the whole thing, is that there are options, and whatever you choose should be your own choice, and it should be what you want to do. And you shouldn't be judged by anyone else around you for wanting that.
Right.
Whether you want a job or you don't, you know?
I have to say that nephew is like the godsend of the family though, because every time I'm home, we just talk about that baby. We just talk about this
nice
baby.
Nice how you can like just shift the tension onto like this like tiny little innocent
that
like,
does has
ball.
No idea what's going
on. Yeah, like has no idea what's happened or what's like going to fucking happen, and everyone can just be so focused on it. I love that. I have a nephew, and I kind of feel like it's like the nephew or my like old dying grandma. Both, I'm equally grateful for both, because they're kind of the same, you know what
you
I
know,
mean?
People only care about birth and death.
I know,
death, not
but
the living.
It's like, it's kind of the same. So I'm like, oh, this is nice. Yeah. This can just like relieve tension.
Well, and it's ironic too, because about 7 years after I came out, my brother came out of the closet as well, because he met a man playing World of Warcraft online.
What?
And then moved to Kansas to be with him, sight unseen.
Pause.
Wait,
I think Jilly and I are.
I did not know that this podcast was going this direction.
Our minds are slowly like touching the void right now. He played World of Warcraft live with an earpiece in.
Yeah, I think that's how you play.
Right, with like, I mean, I know it's how you play, but
anyone that's fallen in love over a video, I think that's bigger than the fact that he came out. The fact that he fell in love over a video.
Truly.
Game
Jilly,
like,
this
honestly,
happens a lot.
Crazy to me.
This happens a lot, because if you're a real gamer, like the video game, that becomes your community. If that's like
true.
Really your
maybe
thing.
Do you think I'm a gamer, guys?
No.
Like, could I be a gamer?
No. Mm-mm. I think you get so much anxiety. I think you'd freak out. But just fell in love with this man's voice for like how he played the game.
I don't know. I'm assuming they like exchanged pictures at some point. I mean, my brother is a very different kind of gay person than I am. But yeah, and it's funny. And it's funny because now people are like, oh, well, have you like rekindled that relationship? And it's like, no, like he still is a Republican. And, you know,
what do
like,
your parents think about him?
We haven't talked. We don't talk as a family about those things. You know, like
does he come home?
Yeah. I stayed in New York for Christmas, but I FaceTime with my family, and he was there, I assume, with his boyfriend.
But do you and your sister talk about that?
Nope. Nobody.
No one
talks about it. I mean.
So no one talks. No. Like, does your sister ask you about your love life?
No.
So you don't talk about that. He doesn't talk about that. And no one talks about that. Everyone just talks about the baby.
Everyone just talks about the
was
baby.
The boy,
much.
Was your brother's boyfriend there?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, when we were home for the wedding, my brother and I were both at my sister's wedding, and his boyfriend was in town. I don't think was invited to the wedding, though.
So the boyfriend was just chilling, probably playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah, probably.
Did you know that, like, I could never, if something's on my mind, I would have to speak it. Like, even if it was going to, like, someone would punch me in the face. Like,
I mean,
this is
years of conditioning of just
not
talking.
I don't understand how, like,
I was just about to say,
crazy.
When you're, like, bred in the family that, like, you just don't fucking talk about it. It's like, I think half the reason why I can't. Why now it's like either I burst into tears crying or it's like really hard for me to get emotion out is because I was kind of raised in this like super tough love way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, you're going to cry about it? Like, really? Like, that's what you think you're going to do? Nope, you're not going to do it. So imagine that compounded by 1,000.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, you have an opinion? Well, we're never going to hear it.
Yeah. It's just, I mean... Yeah, it's just an odd situation. I don't know. And it's funny because, like, everyone is always like, you realize that, like, this is an amazing story. Like, you and your brother growing up in this family being gay, and, like, you don't know anything about, like, what his experience is like, or, you know, and we've never addressed
it. Do you ever want to?
I honestly want to.
Can I call
it? Yeah. It's funny because This American Life approached me about doing, and they wanted to do this story. And I was like,
wait,
yeah,
the video or the actual radio?
The podcast. Yeah.
Because did you
show.
Know that they have a video series now that this girl hosts? And she like goes and does this whole thing and it's like done the same way.
No, I had no idea.
Okay, sorry. So the podcast version.
Yeah, but they were like, can you reach out to your brother and ask? And I was like, I don't know if I can do that. I'm not in a place really where I'm like ready to talk to my brother about
like to
that.
Feel comfortable about it even.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't spoken for more than like 5 consecutive minutes in years, probably since I was 16.
What do you say in those 5 minutes? Like, is it about the weather?
It's about like, oh, what are you doing for work? Like this and that. Like, I don't even, I mean, we just live, he lives in Kansas now. He moved to Kansas to be with this guy. He hasn't worked yet. I mean, my brother didn't get his GED until he was like 24 because he just like doesn't need it. You know, yeah. He was like content to work his jobs and like move to Kansas. He did landscaping for the same doctor from the time he was like 13 until he moved. Like, I guess like practically a decade until he moved to Kansas.
Do you have like any advice for anyone that might be going through like the same sort of situation? Like, how did you, I mean, honestly, I feel like you came out of that amazingly. Like, if that were to happen to other people, they wouldn't be as...
I mean, I haven't been in a relationship in 8 years, so you know that,
I mean, they're always
so I mean, there's that, there's a lot of like, I guess now it's more minute, like we've really like smoothed out most of the rough bumps, but it's now like when you're like one-on-one with me and like, you know, trying to get underneath, I guess is where it's a problem. But no, I mean, I don't know. Everyone's situation with that is different. Like, it was easier. I think, you know, I'm lower middle class, but I came from a certain amount of privilege that I was able to like spend $500 on a car and then, you know, dip into my, I had savings, you know, like my parents taught me, this is a thing, like my parents have had a lot of faults and they were not perfect parents growing up, but they taught the shit out of me of like, you know, hard work, saving money, like being responsible, like all those things that like, you know, God bless them, have like stayed with me. And so that's why I was able to
do it. I mean, those things are huge.
Yeah. I mean, it's just about finding a support system too. Like ultimately I maybe didn't realize I had it when I like left, but you know, I realized I did, you know, have a really great
support
system.
But you are also not scared to ask for help too, which I think is a huge thing because so many people just don't, are scared, are embarrassed, and just don't ask for help. And it's amazing how many people like are really willing to help you.
Yeah. Well, and it was, I mean, it's a different time too. I mean, God, I feel so fucking old, but like the internet was just different. I didn't even have a cell phone until I lived with Sarah, probably until I was like 18.
Yeah.
I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have anything. You know, I didn't have a computer that I was accessing the internet for regularly. Like, just like weird. Like, so like gay teens now, I mean, they have, you know,
a whole like online community.
They're listening to this podcast right now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Like,
right.
So
I hope they are.
Do you guys remember when like you didn't even have internet access at your house? What did we do all day? We went outside and played and like
I had what was that thing, a Tamagotchi that I made sure to eat every day?
Yeah, Game Boy, video games were big. I mean, like I said, I like read. I mean, I used to go outside on this fucking swinging bench and read, you know, books all day.
I also went to my...
What a time. My brain isn't wired for that now.
Yeah. I went to my favorite...
A nicer time.
Yeah.
My favorite
an easier time.
I went to my favorite after school program, Kumon.
Kumon. I've seen signs for that. What is that?
Okay, you guys. The Kumon sign in the O, they have the little face, and the face looks so sad.
It looks like Mr. Poison.
Did you know that I love that? It's an after school math program, and you would just do like multiple choice.
Jilly, then why the fuck aren't you a mathematician?
I love math. I really do. Kumon was like great.
I see Kumon everywhere. You know what I did after school?
What?
I had my closet door in my bedroom as a kid was filled with scratch and sniff stickers.
Oh my God.
And I literally used to like huff my bedroom closet door. That's
That makes a lot of sense.
Which explains so much.
What would you do? Just like breathe and try to feel something?
No, I just like collected a bunch of stickers and I just would go back to the store. And I remember I had this root beer scratch and sniff sticker on my closet door that I used to just like savor the flavor.
She would lean her face up.
Were you not allowed to have root beer as a child?
I wasn't allowed to have soda as a kid. Yeah, we were like a no soda house. No, like if we had sugared candy, it was like a treat.
Oh, I wish. Oh, you God. Know? It took me years to, like, unwork the fucking Midwestern, like, just a three can of soda sort of afternoon with every preservative in my body.
Oh, my
for,
God.
You know,
just like a casual box of cakes.
Exactly. I feel like once you, like, cut out soda, you realize, like, how fucked up that was. It's like, you're like, I was, like, in college, I used to drink diet drinks all day long. I'm like, how did I do that?
Really quickly, well, not really quickly. I don't know why I said that. Lo, I know that your mom was just in town. I know that you have a lovely relationship with your mama. And I want to know, because I feel like I've never asked you about this, but did things like change with your family dynamic when they had to watch you on TV?
You know, it was an interesting process. I was 16 when MTV first came to town and they were like, hey, we want to do this. And we didn't fully understand the scope of the project. We literally thought it was going to be like a 1 hour true life documentary. Yeah. Like,
so you guys had
the OC.
That show looked and felt different than any other show that had come out before it.
Well,
so there's
also,
just no way to predict.
It wasn't about like alcohol or partying. It was like more about like relationships, where I feel like a lot of reality television pre-Kardashian was like all about like the party.
Mm-hmm.
So Lo, what were you saying? So you guys thought that it was going to be like an hour long special. You did not realize that it was going to be like 9,000 seasons followed by like a sequel series.
Right. We didn't realize sort of like the extent and the impact it would have sort of like on pop culture. And so my parents were kind of up for it at the beginning because it just didn't seem like a big deal. And when the shit hit the fan, my dad was the one who I think saw it for the business opportunity that it was, probably far before a lot of other people, because my dad is a great salesman. And so he was, you know, constantly pushing me to do more. And that was very uncomfortable for me at the time emotionally, because all of a sudden I went from, you know, being a really normal kid, having a normal life, being popular in school, to being in college and kids hated me and would write mean things about me on the internet.
What?
People
were so mean to
her. Yell at me when I walked down the street. And so, you know, like emotionally, I was not wanting to like move forward. And my mom, you know, was very understanding of that. And so there wasn't like a serious divide in our family at all. If anything, they became super protective of me, and like my siblings became super protective of me.
Lo, can I just say, like, and this isn't even me sucking your dick right now because I'm on your podcast, but like,
I don't even have,
but I'm just saying, like,
you don't.
I've talked about this with my friends who were fans of the show and we watched it. Like, you were clearly the one that came off the best out of all of those people. Like, clearly, like, the most normal human being on that show. And that's not me. Like, well, I said, that's not even me saying it. I can't believe people would be mad at you or mean to you.
I know.
You're the sweetest one.
I went to visit her in, like, Santa Barbara and someone, like, egged her house. And
that's That's insane.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Sorry, I parked my street.
Yeah, no. I parked my car on the street. I forgot about that. And someone had like egged my car and put like honey and yogurt and like cereal all over it.
Oh
my
God. I hope it was Chobani.
Chobani didn't exist back then.
Yeah, it better have been Greek yogurt.
So it was Yoplait or some shit. That's ghetto.
It was like so sad to me. It hurt me so deeply. So I went to UCSB before I transferred to UCLA, and like those fucktards at UC Santa Barbara and Santa Barbara City College, they're just assholes, man. One of my friends told me a couple of years ago that when I would go to parties when I was at UCSB, that they would play the Laguna Beach theme song when I walked in, and I like wasn't aware of it, but like they would like play the theme song to the show when I was there, and they would like all laugh about it.
I mean, girl, you had a theme song. I would own that shit.
I mean, honestly,
I know. But like as 17, 18 year old, you know, being bullied for the first time on a grand scale, it was a very like traumatic couple of years for me until I reached the point where I was just like, you know what? Fuck you all. I like reclaimed who I was, which was a person that doesn't give very many fucks. Cause that's how I sort of like spent my life up until the point where all of a sudden I was on TV and felt very vulnerable. I was always somebody who was like really confident. It's just like, I don't care what you think. I like did what I wanted until like the internet was invented and they were like, oh my God, you know, she's so fat. She's so ugly. And like, she's such a loser. You know what I mean?
Jesus. All of the things. Yeah.
Internet hate is the worst. I don't even understand how that even came about.
It's crazy. I'm very protective of the stuff that I put out and don't put out on the internet just because like I don't want to deal with it. Like I'd like to feel like I'm above it, but I'm a very sensitive boy.
We all are sensitive. That's the thing.
I'm a Pisces. Come on.
Yeah, sensitive.
Honestly, it's all Perez Hilton's fault. He was the first website where he was like a mean guy to people. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm.
When it he would draw Coke lines on people's faces
and called Misha Barton mushy fart on.
Yeah,
which I,
like that's
he really.
That's
I think
true.
He really did legitimize a lot of the like paparazzis were always seen as like gross and like tabloidy grossness, you know, but then like I think somehow he snuck his way into being more mainstream and that legitimized a lot of it.
And it was like the fact that you could just capture all of these moments and have them on the internet in an instant, where like you had, you know, tabloids, gossip magazines, all that shit has been around for so long, but it was like you had to wait a week to see it all.
Yeah. Or a month. You had to go to the nail salon on Tuesdays to get that Us Weekly.
That's true. Or you're waiting in line at the grocery store or some shit like that. But now, you know, it's just he made it so accessible. And it was like he made this culture, I really think, where it was like nothing was off limits. Like you can take a photo of he used to take photos of random guys and write like gay all over them and like
that's horrible too even before someone like was ready
to come out.
Well, I feel like the turn with him really was when it stopped being punching up. Like there was this idea of him at the beginning of just being like, oh, he's just like us, he's sitting in a coffee shop somewhere with just his laptop and he's like taking all the Hollywood stars down a peg. And then after a while Perez Hilton was like rich and famous and it's like, okay, now you're just being a dick.
I think it was what happened with Britney Spears when she really fucking lost it, and I actually remember
he posted that day that he was after she like went to the hospital. It was like, wow, my site was like got like 1.5 million hits in one day. Thanks so much for everyone for coming to my site. It was like, someone's in the hospital. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't like, oh, go you. Like, great career move.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Anyways, I don't even know how we got talking about that.
No, we got talking about that because it was a part of Lowe's life. And I mean, Jilly, you also were on the sidelines of that and you got to see that happen to your friends. It's true. You were.
Yeah.
I mean, you grew up there and you just.
True.
You just weren't on the television.
No.
You know?
God bless.
Yeah. God bless.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm just on the Instagram. I love Instagram.
And you love your family.
It's true. I do love my family.
Talk to us about your family.
What do you want
to
know, Greta?
I want to know. We have 10 more minutes left. And in this 10 more minutes, I want to know about your family.
Well, I have a younger brother named Andrew and an older sister named Jessica.
And you guys are close.
We're pretty close. My family is very close. I speak to everyone like 45 times a day. But my sister and I are very, very different. My brother and I are more alike. I would say that my dad and I didn't get along at all when I was growing up. Because I was just wanting to be more creative and my dad's very structured and he's like very focused on like school and getting good grades and all that. But I did get pretty good grades. Like I got all A's. But like it just wasn't my sister was valedictorian, that sort of vibe.
So
we didn't really get along that well. And now we have a pretty good relationship. But it was definitely like I had so much of me like needing to be myself and feeling confident with being myself before he was able to like look at me in the eyes and be like, oh, now I understand you as a person. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I did have a great, I have no complaints. My family's always been, and they've always been so supportive. Like even when I wanted to like go to music production school, like my dad paid for it. You know what I mean? Like he's always definitely been very supportive, but always like, you know, why? Like, it wasn't just like, oh, you can do whatever you want. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
My parents are definitely like, it's so funny because I went to theater school and then moved to Chicago to do that. And they were very unhappy about that. And now that I'm doing comedy, they're like, what about that theater stuff that you're doing? It's like,
they're like, you know what's a safer bet? You auditioning for theater stuff.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's so funny.
Very I wouldn't say unsupportive, just like sort of like detachedly supportive in a little strange way. Like they just know, like, you know, I did the logo special thing and I didn't even tell them because I know they're not going to want to watch it. You know, I mean, like it's so sad because it's
but
just
logo
like,
is so cool.
I think that, you know, someone explained this to me recently. They're like, your parents are so much older than you that they don't really understand necessarily the different avenues. You have to explain it to them. You know what I mean? Like if I tell my father something about like a web series or like, you know, my writing or that sort of thing, he doesn't really like, you have to explain it so much more and then they get it. Like, I feel like there's that sort of disconnect that they don't understand, well, like how much more, and not that my parents are unintelligent, but just that there's so much more that is accessible to us. And there's so many more careers that have been, you know, developed since the internet and all
right.
of that.
I think for it's them, it's like they don't want to see drag queens.
Yeah.
It's a content issue.
It's
more
a,
so than
a content issue. And like, do they even know what logo is?
Right. Well, and it's funny because like Sarah's parents were like insane, like going crazy. Her mom sent like out a huge email blast about it. Like, it's just like, he made it. And it's like, it's 4 minutes of stand up on television.
Still,
like,
that's
calm down.
Amazing.
I mean, that's amazing.
But like, and so her whole family like watched it together. And Sarah texted me and was like, Grandma Phyllis is going to watch it with us. And I was like, I don't know. And she was like, Sarah was like, Grandma Phyllis is 96 years old. Like, she can hear you talk about sucking dick for a minute on television.
Yeah, it's
she's
not that
heard
big
worse.
Like,
maybe she can hear.
She's seen
96.
A lot of
that
shit.
That is
yeah.
so funny. You guys, my grandma the other night was telling me that she's ready for a boyfriend.
Oh. How old is she?
She's 90.
Get it, girl.
I know. I was like, what do you want to do with him? And she's like, well, I just want him to take me to dinner and maybe we'll go and see a movie. Maybe we won't. And I was like, I like that.
I'm sort of like with your grandma's vibe. Like, yeah. I would like that too.
I know, but I was like, do you want to like snuggle? Do you want to sleep in the same bed? And she was like, no. Heavens no. Yeah. I was like, I feel you, girl. I do.
What about you, Greta? What is your relationship with your family?
I feel like I use this podcast as like my therapy session every single time that all of our wonderful listeners have heard me like harp about my fucked up relationship with my family and my great relationship with my family. I don't know. The long and short of it is I have a wonderful sister and brother, and my brother listens to our podcast all the time. He is like our most loyal listener, which is...
What up, Ethan?
Yeah, I love Ethan. And my sister's great, but my sister and I were also really different, similar to you and your sister. My sister was, you know, she was this like very put together, super smart equestrian
who
went to an Ivy League just like my brother and all this shit. And I don't know. It took her a long time too to like.
Are you the youngest?
I'm the youngest, but it took her a long time too to like come to really terms with our differences. And now we have such a wonderful, amazing friendship.
Yeah.
But you know, my mom passed away and that was really hard. My dad lives in Greece, so I only really ever see him from time to time.
But you have a great extended family.
Oh yeah. I have a wonderful family filled with aunts and uncles and cousins and everyone that I love. And I feel very lucky. And I have the most like incredible friend group. And I feel so lucky too to be meeting all of these like the comedy community is a very supportive, lovely, wonderful one to be a part of. And it's like a really nice thing too.
Yeah.
So that's that. Okay, now we're going to transition. We're going to do a smooth transition from talking about our families into doing what comes naturally, talking about blowjobs.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about a time where my high school boyfriend told me to give him a blowjob with ice cubes in my mouth. And I did like kind of try, but it was very hard and my teeth are very sensitive. So doing that
sounds like
really
one of those weird like elocution exercises. Like, put this in your mouth and then put a cork in it and then try and say the vowels. And
I do feel like that was like a big trend in high school where people would always like talk about using ice in like
They're
newly and they're newly discovered.
Like, why
sexual
are we trying to reinvent the wheel here, kids? Like, just get a fucking blowjob.
Well, that's because no one
ice
probably knew
so
how to
weird.
Do it, right?
Yeah,
ice is weird.
That seems so counter. Like, all the penis wants to do is live inside a wet, warm place. Like, that's literally, and like you're taking away one huge component of that. Like,
just trying to ice it out.
Who thought of that? Because it was not a man. I can't imagine.
But that's like all of those weird sex tips where I just think like someone is bored at their desk and they're like a staffed sex writer just needing to come up with garbage.
I just want to know who's out there buying those magazines and is like, oh, I need some sex advice. Like, let me go buy Cosmo.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, let me read the top 10 ways to please my man. Like, I'm not reading that shit.
I think Yeah, but you're a grown up. I think a lot of younger women read that stuff, don't you?
Maybe, but I just feel like it's so calculated.
I don't know. I learned how to give head just by experience alone.
Well, sex education should be better in our public schools. I'll say that. You know, why aren't we teaching kids how to pleasure each other?
It's true.
I mean, I think there should be education about like safety.
Have you guys ever given
sex is, but maybe not like demonstrations of how to do certain things.
Work the head.
I learned how to give head though. Like really the best blowjob advice I've ever gotten was from all my gay guy friends.
Yeah, no, it's true.
I didn't have very many gay guy friends in high school.
Learn how to work the tip. Really.
I know a lot of women who are very averse to getting advice from gay men, which is, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Why?
It's like, why take your car in to the mechanic when I'm a fucking Honda sitting here in front of you? Like I am the car.
You should get advice from everyone.
True. Wait, I want to know.
I want to know Joel's best.
I was just about to ask.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing about, I think most men, at least that I've encountered in blowjobs, is I think there is this pressure to like get it in your throat, which is great if you can do it. But if you can't do it, then it's pointless. So just stick with the head. Like do a few up and downs. But honestly, like the head, that's where the feeling is. Like work your tongue on the head. Like stay there. Like
sometimes you finding a guy that has like such a big, nice dick, you're just like literally how and why.
Sure. And I quite honestly, like, I hope he doesn't listen to this because sometimes I'm like, I wish you were smaller.
You know? Well, it happens. It can hurt.
Wish you were smaller. Make it a little bit more manageable for me. But
can you give us, before we sign off and talk about our lady love, can you give us one absolute no to do when you're sucking dick? Mm. Besides the obvious being like teeth.
Yeah. If you're going to give yourself like a hand, like a brief reprieve and give like a quick hand job to keep it, I think the engine running, like just like make sure you've lubed it up with spit enough, because there's nothing worse than like a sandpaper hand job.
And a dry hand.
Oh, it just doesn't feel good.
That's true.
My boyfriend and I talked about this yesterday.
Just like a dry hand job. Nothing is worse.
Yeah, I think I think also
like a dry high school handy.
I used to have like a lot of self-consciousness about this, and it's probably, I assume, worse for women just because of the general, like all the shit you have to deal with. But like, don't be afraid to get like drooly and messy and sloppy with it. Like, I don't know a man who is like, no, I need it clean. I need a clean.
The wetter, the better.
Yeah, I think.
What, were you just coming up with like blowjob taglines?
Yeah, I am. I'm just thinking about it over here in this little brain.
It's not rocket science. Play with the balls. Stick a finger up his butt. Surprise him.
Yeah, definitely do that. Yeah. Just definitely don't tell
warn him.
Just pop it right in there. Him. Take an OB. Why not? Just put a little tampon in there.
Exactly.
See if he likes it.
Exactly. You heard it here first.
Yeah, just like you heard that braces were a scam. Every man wants a tampon
braces
in his
are
ass.
A scam.
So every episode, we like to sign off shouting out a woman that we admire and adore and think are doing great things. And we ask our guest to think of a woman that is near and dear and special to their heart, dead or alive. We love having a woman that people need to research.
Can I suggest that we shout out Sarah?
Sarah, oh, absolutely.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Every day. I just
I think
yes,
this,
I agree.
If you are a high school kid and you see someone that maybe needs help and you reach out to them, or just even if you're an adult and you see someone that needs help and you reach out, that can really change someone's life.
Yeah. Sarah. And she's changing lives every day, every fucking day.
What's her last name?
Fucking rock star. Casey.
Sarah Casey.
Yeah.
You're an angel. You're an earth angel.
Yeah.
Sarah Casey is our Lady Lovin' of the Week.
I love you, Sarah Casey. I hope that there are more Sarah Caseys in the world. I really do. I hope every Joel Kim has a Sarah Casey.
It's Joel Kim Booster.
Full circle.
Yeah, I got it down now.
Oh, well, this was so much fun. I'm so happy that we had
you
on the show.
For having me.
Thank you so much for chatting.
Where can all of our lovely listeners find you?
They can find me on Twitter at @IHateJoelKim. That's also my website. All the links and stuff like that are there. That's where I plug most of my shows and things like that.
And your Instagram.
And my Instagram is @IHateJoelKim as well.
amazing, and you have he's always performing in New York City. You can always find him on a stage somewhere. Truly.
You can find me on the Logo website right now if you search long and hard, because it's very difficult to find. But Bianca's Comedy Cabaret.
Ooh. I thought you meant type in long and hard.
No.
He is long and hard, but you can
what
find
kind of
him.
A website is this?
So cool. So find him on Logo. Go to his website. Please go and see him do stand up, because you'll just die laughing. It just makes me so happy. He just makes me so happy. And I'm feeling really positive and good.
Great.
And that's what I like.
Thanks, Joel.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Joel.
Thanks, Lo.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.